This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Earlier this week, we spoke with actor and reading advocate LeVar Burton. Before he was host of Reading Rainbow on PBS, Burton came to prominence for his role as the young Kunta Kinte in the 1977 TV miniseries Roots. Starring along with Burton was actor Ben Vereen, who played Chicken George Moore. And like Burton, Vereen will speak later this month in Milwaukee. His talk on his own substance abuse, addiction, and recovery will come at an event honoring the 130th anniversary of the Aurora Psychiatric Hospital. Vereen joins us by phone to share his story. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for taking this time for us.
Absolutely. Well, let me say, you are coming to Milwaukee in just a few weeks for a gala benefiting the Aurora Psychiatric Hospital. And I gather one of the key messages you are bringing to that event is your own recovery from substance abuse and addiction. How did that life, how did substance abuse affect your life and your career?
I can't remember.
The sad truth?
You know, most people can't. But how it affected my career, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you try to keep it under the radar. You got to understand something. I come from the 60s, like all of us do. The 60s was the time when everybody was saying, yeah, drugs and alcohol and rock and roll. And I got caught up in that spin. And as the career began to take off, I began to spin in that in the other direction rather than direction of sobriety, which I've come to. And in that spin, you don't really identify with the fact that there's a problem. There is a psychological problem, that there are attachments that are causing you to reach further along in that direction because of past conditions, past behavioral characterizations, your environment, low self-esteem, all those things are attached to it. So the wonderful thing is, on the other side, once you become aware of it, that you begin to find that you've been not breathing, and now you get your breath back. So it affected my career to the point that, one, you're not reliable. Two, you're not there, you know, that people can't depend on you. And three, you know, it affects your mind because you can't think straight. You think you're thinking straight, but that's the lie of the disease. It makes you think that you're thinking straight when you're not. You're really off the planet.
Was it also an issue that you were perhaps surrounded by other people who had the same addictions?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The 60s, you got to understand, is that during that period of time, you understand addiction. That's an interesting word because there are various types of addictions. Here we're dealing with chemical addiction, and we're dealing with the how it affects the mind and the psychological aspect of how we perceive things. But you got to understand the environment that we live in, which is called America, it is a prone component to addictive behavior. If you understand.
Oh, absolutely.
Meaning that when it's Christmas time, what do? We don't just celebrate, you know, by singing wonderful songs of joy of the birth of Christ. What we do is we say, oh, it's wonderful Christmas time, Happy New Year, let's break up a bottle of champagne. You know, and then people break, and then they don't have as one glass, they have like a bottle of two or three or four. It's like a thing where it seems like to be happy, we've been told that you got to be inebriated in some aspect. And that's the lie of life. The lie of life is you have life abundantly, and it is given to you freely by birthright. And when you get into the aspect of realizing that, then you begin to breathe the life of the breath of life, and it begins to propel you into a clear consciousness.
How long was it an issue for you?
Too long. You know, we'll talk about this. I don't want to give all my thing away on the radio.
Oh, yeah. No, no worries.
A long time. Come to the lecture and you'll hear the whole story.
Well, and again, not to give away.
And read the book. You'll read the book.
Well, so again, not to give away the ending then, but what did it take to move past that part of your life?
Once you have the disease, they'll tell you in recovery, you're going to always have the disease. There's always that strain waiting in the shadows, waiting for you to slip up, to pounce. When you are a recovered person, you have to always be on the watch. They say all along the watchtower, you must be on the watchtower watching and be aware of you. You become more aware of your behavior because addiction is an interesting animal. The disease is an interesting animal. It's sleeping, but it's a sleeping giant. And as soon as you awake it, it pounces. And each time you go through a recovery, or you say you have they call it relapse, and you come back, it gets harder and harder because the disease gets stronger and stronger. It's doing push-ups while you're busy celebrating your life. It's waiting for you to pounce, waiting to pounce on you. Always be watchful. That's why we surround ourselves with people, and people like the Aurora, people there in Aurora, who are prone and trained how to deal with these conditions. That's why we're celebrating this, because it's been 130 years they've been doing this. So they've watched our society, and they've been the catchers in our society for us who are living in society. We fall. They have the net. They're waiting for us. And they say, here we are. We got you. You don't have to fall off the planet or off the cliff. We got a safety net for you. Right there where we're having this conversation.
People look at the recent death of Robin Williams, and maybe it's a wake-up call that famous people might have access to tools to help them, but struggle is still struggle. Is that fair?
Always struggle. And it's not just the reason why we're visible, because we're in your homes. We come see us in movies. We entertain you. We're more visible, but it's right next door. It's right next door. And, Robin, unfortunately, and he's a good friend of mine, and we're sad for that, for what happened, for his choice that he made. And had someone been there, we might not be talking about Robin today, but he didn't have the access to know to go to, or didn't feel that he'd given up at that point in his life. But it's right around us always. It's just we're more visible to see it, see us.
Were there moments along the recovery way where you thought about giving up?
Oh yeah, well that is the marching band of the disease. It wants to take you out, wants you to give up, wants you to lay down. But thank God for Aurora, we get to that place where we want to give up, and they're saying we're here for you to help you. You don't have to give in to it completely.
Do you think? I mean, your career has spanned a number of different eras of the entertainment business. I mean, the 60s and 70s are kind of one animal. Things are different in some ways in the 2000s and 2010s. But do you see the climate for things like addictive behaviors as any different today in the entertainment world than it was when you first got to it?
Disease will always be the disease. It has been with us from the beginning of time, once man began to fall into the lower realm of his human consciousness and began to look for ways to climb back up out of the well to a higher conscious, and he began to find supplements that would substitute that feeling of bliss. You know, so it's always going to be with us. It'll take various forms, and it's going to all through time. You know, this we're talking about the 40s and the 50s, 60s, and the 2010. It's all the same. Addiction is addiction. The disease is the disease. Simple, period.
You work a lot with younger performers today. In addition to the lessons on things like the technique you might give them, do you ever talk with them about your personal struggles?
You know, you got to be careful not to preach at people. You know, you inform them, and by living it. It's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to live it. When you live it, you become the living example of. When you talk about it, you know, it's sort of like, yeah. Okay, I hear you talking about it. I don't see it. But when you live it, then they become interested. How did you do that? Then you can tell them. I don't go to my class, I'm going to tell you about my sorrow and all my big things that I went through. Oh, my God, if you want to be an actor, watch out for this. I don't go in like that. I go in and bring. By my presence, I'm bringing the message. And then if they're along the way, they may say, I heard that you went through. I say, yeah, but I'm here today, and you are here today.
You must see that stuff happening around you. It must be a little heartbreaking.
Yeah, I see it around me. Yes, it is heartbreaking, but I cannot dwell in it. Because if I dwell in the heartbreak, then I cannot feel the heart of the desire to live and to have recovery. So I see the heartbreak. I've had the heartbreak. I can identify with it, and I can be an example for somebody who's looking for a way to heal that heart that's broken, as you're doing here in Aurora. You know that word means the goddess of dawn, the beginnings, and it's a beautiful thing.
Earlier in the interview, we talked about how you thought your addictions and challenges with that affected your career. How do you see your own perseverance? How do you see where you are today, your perseverance affecting your career today?
You know, we have a saying in the room that says that when you, it's this, you know, they say, if you see the saying, if you seek my face, you will find me. And I will give you back the years that the locust has eaten. So if I, as long as I seek my higher power, my God, as I see my God, Allah, Buddha, Jesus, Elohim, Yahweh, something that I know is greater than myself, then it will reintroduce me to a new life. And in that new life, all the promises are fulfilled. So the career begins to come back. The family, first the family comes back. Your friends come back. And then you find, then the other pieces begin to build. It may not, you see, the thing about the human mind, it perceives, because we have a thing called ego, which I'm going to talk about that night. And the ego, it's a small concept in the big picture of everything. And it sees things, I want this, I want that. When the universe, or your higher power, or your God, or your Allah, or your Buddha, is saying, I'll give you the world if you seek my face. I will give you my kingdom. Which is the good things in life. Better relationships, better air to breathe. You learn how to take care of yourself, and you'll attract all the angels on this planet that are willing to help you live a better life.
When you wake up in the morning, do you feel like you're healthy, and is it a blank slate when you wake up?
Look, I have a friend of mine, and he says, you say to him, man, how do you feel today? He says, man, I'm above ground. And when I'm above ground, I got a chance at another shot at the kingdom within. And that kingdom within is pure and love, and it tells me to serve. And as I serve, the blessings come even more, because we're here to serve one another.
Can I ask you one entertainment career question?
Sure. I wasn't this about the career?
Well, yes. I don't know if you realize this, but you will be in Milwaukee just a few days before one of your fellow cast members from Roots, and I think you were also briefly on Star Trek The Next Generation together. I spoke earlier this week with LeVar Burton.
LeVar, my baby. LeVar. You know, LeVar came to me. Let's tell you a story about LeVar.
Sure.
I was doing a show called Pippin. And this kid shows up backstage, and he says, you know, Mrs. Marin, I'm going to be like you. And I said, no, son, you have your own wings. You're going to do great things, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, do my, you know, encouragement. And he came with his mother. I was sitting on the set of Roots, and this kid comes running down. I'm sitting on a buckboard. He comes running to me. He says, Mrs. Marin, remember me? I said, oh, yeah, you're the kid from, yeah. How you doing? He said, good. He says, I'm in this movie. I said, really? I said, so what part do you get? He said, Kunta Kinte. And the rest of his.
Well, and so let me ask, when you and LeVar and the others were doing Roots, did you, even as it was being produced, recognize what a landmark moment it was?
No, because the important thing was the document. It's the fact that my Jewish brothers and sisters have the Holocaust, because Hitler was such a fiend and a nut that he filmed everything. Slavery. In this country, we didn't have film, so it wasn't filmed. We have word of mouth and documents written, but it was never seen. So when Alex Haley came along and brought this book, this brilliant book, to ABC, and they had the courage to say, we're going to film this, and put it, we used our first document to show the African-American Holocaust in America. So we wanted to be a part of that, because when I was growing up, there was very little about the African-American enslavement. It was like you were a slave and Lincoln freed you, unless you went to college and got very into black studies. The elementary school and high school, and they didn't get the in-depth understanding of how the fiber of America came together through all the people's suffrage. And this is our story. So when it went around the world, and still today, look, you and I are talking about it. It's a phenomenon. What Alex Haley did, all praises, is unbelievable, and we thank him for that today.
Well, and so do you feel like you've had some role in changing life for African American kids who are growing up today?
I like to think so. I think we all did. You do too. Because of your awareness, you are opening your channels to having people have dialogue about it. You know, I just did another piece. I'm not getting off the subject, but I just, matter of fact, I just did a film with Richard Gere is called Time Out of Mind, and it was going to show in the Toronto Film Festival and the New York Film Festival. It's just coming out, and what it deals with is another subject which we don't talk about, and that is the plight of the homeless, because we're all there by the grace of God, go you and I. And so here's another subject that needs to be talked about. And because I'm talking to you, somebody's hearing it, and maybe somebody will do something, you know, for a homeless person to help our society become home rather than homeless.
You would say that homelessness could use that roots moment.
Yes, exactly. That awareness moment. So we do something about it. You know, when Roots aired, right away people started going to the Census Bureau. Oh, my God, who's in my tree? And we began to have dialogue about it. And things began to change. I like to think things began to change. The mystery was, there was more light shown on the mystery of a people, and began to talk about them and talk about us as a people, a human race.
Do you look at that as, is that, not that there aren't continuing to be high water marks in your career, but do you look at Roots as everything that came before that and everything that came after that for you?
Yes, of course it was. And I'm looking for the Bimberine after this conversation.
Well, listen, Ben Vereen, it has really been a pleasure. I appreciate your candor and your lifetime of work. Thank you so much for sharing some of
it
with us.
My pleasure, and thank you for doing this for us. And let us all heal together and heal our country, heal our nation, heal this world.
Actor Ben Vereen will speak next Saturday at a gala event honoring the 130th anniversary of the Aurora Psychiatric Hospital in Wauwatosa. Vereen won a Tony Award for his stage work and was nominated for an Emmy for his role in the miniseries Roots. Most recently, he's performed a series of one-man shows. There's more information about Vereen and what brings him to Milwaukee at WUWM.com/lake effect. As the U.S. debates its next move in the worsening situation in Syria, we'll consider the reality of war on all sides with the author of a collection of war-themed short fiction. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.